Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We have lots of time to take your questions on this beautiful weekend. And among the things that we're going to tackle this weekend, we're going to talk about, hey, ladies, are doctors examining your genitals for no reason? When does it end with the annual ritual of the pap smear? We'll explore that story in just a moment. Also, new benefits of vitamin D. Vitamin D, the most versatile nutrient of the decade, and now even more studies showing its benefits. Also, your phone calls, 888-302-3684, an essential element of Intelligent Medicine, fielding your questions. And we'll talk about which sunscreens you should use this summer as temperatures soar across the country. What's the safest and most effective sunscreen to use? 888-302-3684. Well, it's been a busy week in New York, and the tabloids exploded with this story. Yeah, the little element of schadenfreude. For those of you not familiar with the term, it's a delight in the misfortunes of others. And the tabloids just were all over the story because there's a perp walk, and that's one of the favorite photo opportunities for tabloids, of an attractive young female celebrity doctor, a dermatologist on New York's Upper East Side. Headline, celebrity doctor indicted for illegal possession of prescription meds. And the story by Jamie Schramm, Sophia Rosenbaum, and Rebecca Rosenberg, reporters for, I guess this is for the New York Post. A Park Avenue dermatologist of the stars is a closet pill popper who forged prescriptions to score drugs and feed her illicit habit, law enforcement officials charge. Dr. Cheryl Karcher, who is the skin doctor to Miss Universe and who appears regularly on TV, filled bogus scripts at pharmacies on the Upper East Side and in Connecticut using the names of her real patients, prosecutors allege. The TV doc allegedly used her scheme to obtain powerful painkillers such as Percocet. She told the pharmacist that she was picking up prescriptions for her patient. She was just offering them an additional convenient service. She would go to the drugstore and she would present the prescription. Said, "Look, I'm just picking up a prescription for my patients here. You know, could you please give me the medications?" And boom, she apparently consumed the medications. Or it's not even clear. She might, as this has occurred in many instances before, doctors have obtained prescriptions, phony prescriptions for patients because, you know, they have the prescription pad, the power of the prescription pad, and they can prescribe medications willy-nilly. So there's a picture here of the unhappy celebrity doctor walking out of the 19th precinct after her arrest in handcuffs, and, you know, the traditional perp walk. And, you know, I got to say, this is an interesting story because I was in a position about, I guess it's now already about 8 years ago, 6 or 8 years ago, when I broke my hip. Many of you are familiar with that story because you follow this program. And I was in excruciating pain. And for a while, I required pain medications. But I have to say, I was super careful about how I got my pain medications. Of course, here I was in excruciating pain, and I have a prescription pad, and I have an authorization to prescribe pain-killing medication. But I was super careful about prescribing pain medications for myself, even though it was proper and reasonable for someone 2-3 weeks after a hip fracture to take pain medication. I made sure that I didn't prescribe it for myself because I knew that these things get monitored. And it's like, oh, Dr. Hoffman, he's prescribing pain medications for himself. You know, the signature matches the name at the top. In other words, this prescription for Ronald Hoffman, signed Dr. Ronald Hoffman. No, that's not the way it works. And I was even careful about not implicating my associate physician in my office. I was sorely tempted. I would say, look, I'm running out of pain medication. I can't get to my doctor. My doctor doesn't answer my phone calls. It's the weekend. Could you please prescribe me a dozen pills to get me through till Monday when I can reach my... No, I made sure that I didn't do that. And it actually got me into positions where I was in a lot of pain and I was running out of pain medication and making frantic calls to the physician assistant who was covering that weekend to prescribe the pain medications. It's dicey when you're a doctor and you're in pain and you need pain medication. You have to act like an ordinary citizen. You can't prescribe medication for yourself. And, you know, just keep in mind that new studies show that prescription pain meds are responsible for more deaths, more overdoses than heroin and cocaine combined in this country. It's a huge problem of abuse. And many doctors, unfortunately, get roped into schemes where they unwittingly or wittingly prescribe excess pain medications to patients. And it's a big, big problem. So here, you know, this doctor's in serious trouble. It's criminal charges, probably going to result in professional discipline. Sometimes there's a comeback trail for these doctors who are impaired. They enroll in rehabilitation programs, promise that they're going to seek help, and then under supervision they can regain their medical license and prescription and prescribing capabilities. But, serious problem. Doctors, I mean, they're real close to the drug pipeline. And sometimes, under duress, they succumb. All right, let's talk to Marianne. Welcome. Marianne's in Ridgewood, New Jersey, calling us. 888-302-3684 is our number. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband is 77, and 3 years ago, he was diagnosed with V. Leiden, the blood clotting disorder.
Well, actually, what it is the V... It's like the Super Bowls. They use Roman numerals.
Yes.
You know, so it's actually factor five.
Right.
V stands for factor five Leiden. Okay, what that is that is a clotting factor, the absence of which means that you're going to get blood. It's actually an anticoagulant factor. So
if you're
missing factor five, then you get more blood clots. And sometimes you need to be on permanent, not just aspirin, but powerful anticoagulant medications because you're going to get blood clots in your legs, and then you might get pulmonary emboli, blood clots in your lungs, very serious potential condition. And sometimes you can go through life decades and decades and decades until you discover you get a blood clot. And then they do the tests, and there's a whole panel of them. There's several of these types of genetic predispositions. And then you find, oh, my goodness, I have this anti-cardiolipin antibodies or I have factor V Leiden deficiency, one of these things. Homocysteine, even, that can predispose you to blood clots. So anyway, what's the question?
Okay, a year ago, the backs of his hands started turning black. And
But he's on a blood thinner, right?
He is on Coumadin, 5 milligrams
yeah.
a day.
Well, there you
However,
go.
However, 6 weeks ago, they had to take him off the Coumadin put him on baby aspirin because of two surgeries that he needed, very serious surgeries, for large blood blisters that form in his legs from the slightest bump.
Right.
And they need surgery and skin grafting.
So what's the question? What's the question?
My question is they're going to do a screen, put a screen.
No, that's not a question. That's telling me more.
Okay, yes. Is there anything that we can do other than what I've described?
So let me tell you. You know, look, this is a problem because, it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, the porridge is too hot, or too cold, and, you got to get it just right. And the problem with anticoagulation is that, he needs anticoagulation. Otherwise, he's going to get a blood clot. But unfortunately, the Coumadin is over anticoagulating him, and he's getting all kinds of bleeding complications. It's a serious trouble. Sometimes this is just a function of aging or one's physical condition, but sometimes it can be related to supplement deficiencies. He might have a vitamin K deficiency, and vitamin K is supposed to be contraindicated when you're taking Coumadin, but actually you need a little bit of vitamin K, because without any vitamin K whatsoever in your system, the Coumadin may over anticoagulate you. The other thing that could be going on, he might need some essential fatty acids. He might need some omega-3s. Often doctors say, don't take omega-3s while you're taking Coumadin because it thins the blood too much. Well, no, actually, it's been shown that omega-3s reduce the risk of bleeding complications such as your husband is having. So I'm not going to say take those things, but this would be in my thought process as I see a patient like your husband. I don't know precisely what's going on with him. It's a complicated medical history. It just illustrates the problem of these anticoagulants, and even some of the new ones that are now replacing Coumadin can cause too much bleeding. They can over anticoagulate you. That's a serious problem. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. That's our number for questions. We await your questions. We got lots more to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Doctor, give me the news. That's what I'm trying to do this weekend. And just a moment, we'll talk about why you women may not need to be poked and prodded ad nauseum because doctors are examining guidelines for performing that annual pap smear. But before we get to that, let's take another call from Michael in Philadelphia. How you doing, Michael?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I know that nightshade sensitivity is not a true allergy, and I'm curious by what mechanism could eating nightshade cause joint pain, joint stiffness within like 6 or 12 or 24 hours if it's not like an allergy per se?
Exactly. It is not an allergy because, you know, allergies might cause wheezing, sneezing, skin itching. That's a traditional view of allergy. This is a type of food intolerance. And this was, first speculated on in the 1950s. Carlton Fredericks used to talk about this all the time. The theory is that there's something in the family, let me see if I can get the pronunciation right, Solanaceae. This is an enormous family of plants, which include tomatoes, potatoes, but not sweet potatoes or yams, just white potatoes, eggplants and peppers, but also, you know, all those spicy peppers like chili peppers and cayenne peppers and paprika. And paprika is kind of sneaky because it shows up in a lot of flavoring mixes and it's not necessarily on the ingredients list. Even goji berries contain some of the substances that are implicated in the nightshade intolerance. Ashwagandha, that's a popular herb, but ashwagandha may create aches and pains in patients with arthritis. It's actually first discovered when animals were foraging on a certain type of plant, and they got cattle, you know, foraging, and farmers would note that the cattle would develop very serious arthritis, achy body, and they'd become lame when they ate these plants. And these plants were high in solanins, which are a certain type of chemical present in this family of plants. And the new think on this is that nightshades enhance the absorption of calcium. And now that's a good thing, but they actually cause calcinosis, which is a hyperabsorption of calcium. And the mechanism is that they increase the level of 125-dihydroxyvitamin D. Now, this is a little fancy schmancy terminology for you. It's actually not the type of vitamin D that you get when you take a vitamin D pill. It's usually that type of vitamin D doesn't induce hypercalcemia, but 125-dihydroxyvitamin D is a potent inducer of calcium absorption. And it may be that you get calcium deposits in your joints and that this may cause some of the aching. So this substance, solanine, it's a glycoalkaloid, and that's the potential problem in the nightshade. So you know, what you do is you do a trial of serious elimination of those things if you're suffering from aches and pains, arthritis. And, you know, this only works some of the time. I think for the vast majority of my patients, it doesn't make a difference. But maybe 20-30% of patients get substantial relief when they get off the nightshade. So it's worth trying. And there's no blood test that's going to tell you that this is applicable to you.
I understood the whole idea about long-term calcification of the joints causing joint pain and problems. And that made total sense to me in the long term. But I don't see how a sudden overabsorption of calcium, especially if I didn't really eat any when I had the nightshades, could cause a severe kind of joint problem like 12 hours after eating Chipotle chicken burrito.
Yeah, you know, that's that. I agree with you, but it may be that a transient increase in the calcium concentration in your blood, even just a short-term increase, if it goes sky high, that could create problems. You know, patients who have what's called hyperparathyroidism, that's a condition where there's too much calcium in the blood, they have enormous aches and pains. I mean, there's serious problems with muscle and joint pain. That can be a tip-off to that type of problem. So, you know, high calcium might be the mechanism. It's not clearly delineated, but that's at least one theory that's current about how that occurs. And hey, oh, by the way, all nightshades contain nicotine, and that could be an issue, because you know, in some studies nicotine interferes with tendon healing, and that may be one of the mechanisms by which nicotine has an adverse effect on the muscles. So you know, that could be part of the problem. All right. So here's an item that has to do with the right type of exercise that can make a difference for women. Now, I recently saw an interesting commercial which shows jogging very slowly on a jogging machine. And the speeds, you can see the speeds are saunter, stroll, and then the ultimate slow speed is loiter. So slow jogging, maybe not the best way to lose weight. A new study shows that high-intensity sprints, that's the way to lose weight if you're suffering from overweight as a woman. This study performed in women. And interval running, I mean, run, walk, that might be the answer to your weight problem. When it comes to exercise, certainly just heavy weights might just build up muscle bulk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and when we return, more of your phone calls, more of your questions, 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. A little bit more follow-up on that nightshade sensitivity question. You know, one of the mechanisms that's postulated about why patients experience aches and pains when they consume nightshade family foods has to do with calcium. Another theory, and this is comes to us from Lauren Cordain, who's a proponent of the paleo diet. One of the reasons that the paleo diet is helpful for patients with arthritis is that it excludes many foods that could be precipitants, gluten, dairy, many of the grains, but it also excludes nightshades. And Dr. Lauren Cordain is particularly suspicious of nightshades when it comes to autoimmune and inflammatory problems because his research shows that nightshades contain lectins. These are natural chemicals that may cause leaky gut syndrome. It may open the tiny pores in the intestinal tract, allowing food contents and bacterial antigens to traverse into the general circulation and then travel to remote parts of the body. And leaky gut is actually one of our theories in medicine about why intestinal problems sometimes cause problems to arise in remote parts of the body, in the joints, in the skin, even in the brain, causing mood problems and depression. So leaky gut may be promoted in some susceptible individuals, not all, by the glycoalkaloids present in the nightshades. That is one of the theories. I don't think we know exactly why, but there's some people for certain. Experience tells them that when they start using these foods, they start having some tomatoes, they get a real setback in their bodily aches and pains. All right. It turns out that, I mean, this is, isn't it typical for medicine? You know, they tell you year in, year out, they've been telling you, you know, get your annual whatever. And then it turns out, no, that's not even evidence-based. The science doesn't support it. This has happened for the annual chest X-ray, which for generations has exposed people to unnecessary radiation for no reason at all, except perhaps to enrich doctors. The same thing for your annual EKG. Not appropriate, according to studies, because, well, you need an EKG if something is strange, if you have chest pressure, pain, palpitations, if the doctor senses an irregular heart rate. Okay, fine. If you have had high blood pressure for a long time, you want to check the EKG to see if it's affected the heart. Yeah, I get it. But these annual rituals turn out to be meaningless in terms of preventing disease. And now doctors are reexamining why they poke and prod women's genitals on an annual basis. In the last year that we have records for, doctors performed 62.8 million routine pelvic exams on women across America. Now, I never had one done, but I hear tell that they're not pleasant. And if they're expensive, unnecessary, unpleasant, why do them? They cost the U.S. $2.6 billion every year. All right, get ready for this. A new study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, doesn't get any better than that, reports there is no established medical justification for the annual procedure. They scoured nearly 70 years of pelvic exam studies. That's pretty comprehensive, dating from 1946 to 2014. The researchers found absolutely no evidence that they led to any reduction in morbidity or mortality, that means sickness or death, from any condition among women. So the American College of Physicians on that basis has crafted a new set of guidelines warning doctors that exams conducted on otherwise symptomless women can, quote, subject patients to unnecessary worry and follow-up and can cause anxiety, discomfort, pain, and embarrassment, especially in women who have a history of sexual abuse. And, yeah, that's a real issue because some women, you know, it's like, oh, you've got to have your exam. It's like, oh, I don't really want to have an exam. You know, it's like, I'm not okay with that. No, you must have it. Well, it's intrusive. It's abusive. It's invasive. If it's unnecessary, why do it? Now, look, there are certain circumstances where that necessary. Women have problems. They report pain. They have unusual bleeding. They have a history of sexually transmitted disease, or they have a history of abnormal pap smears that need to be followed up. Okay, I get it. But routinely, year in, year out, till you're 70, 75, 80, and beyond, is it going to make a difference? Is it going to save lives? Now, there's some blowback from ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. They admit that no evidence supports or refutes the annual pelvic exam, but still they re-upped its endorsement, writing that it, quote, seems logical to do the exam. But, you know, yeah, look, they have an interest and certainly a vested financial interest in keeping women coming back on an annual basis for routine exams. But you got a question. I mean, look, there's a certain age, too, where after a while you've had normal exams, nothing's going on, no problem. Do you keep going back for exams? And this is happening, you know, we're questioning more and more. And this is not just, you know, throw granny under the bus, you know, that we're just in an era of cost containment. And, yeah, that's a consideration. But is it logical to perform unnecessary procedures on patients year in and year out? And in addition, to then, you know, find some abnormality, one or another, and then have expensive invasive tests performed, which ultimately are a wild goose chase. That's bad, too. So now the annual ritual of the routine pelvic exam is being questioned. And, you know, so much the better. Let's take a look at some of the things that we do in medicine. And if it doesn't work, let's get rid of those traditional procedures. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. When we return, we'll talk vitamin D and sunscreen. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at NordicNaturals.com.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Consumer Reports this week that you shouldn't spray sunscreens on kids. Well, what's up with that? Well, you know, kids, I mean, it's really convenient because smearing sunscreen on, you know, that's, I don't know, some kids are ticklish or they just don't want to undergo that embarrassing ritual. Mom is like slathering on the sunscreen. So just a little couple of spritzes, spray, and you're set, you know, no problem. Well, there's a reason that Consumer Reports advises you not to spray sunscreens on kids. And the reason is nanoparticles, because many of the spray-on sunscreens contain nano, by the way, it means dwarf or tiny, and these particles are very tiny. And the particles in question are either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. Now, if you look at, I forget what zinc oxide looks like under the microscope, but if you look at titanium dioxide nanoparticles under the microscope, they look like little tiny razor blades. They're very sharp and jagged, and they're tiny. They're microscopic. You can't see them with the naked eye, but they become aerosolized in the air, and these little kids, they swarm around, and you know, they're talking, they're crying, they're breathing in these vapors, which contain literally tiny metal shards of either zinc or titanium, and these can cause chronic lung irritation, and that is a concern. That is a real concern. Now, paradoxically, a very reliable source on environmental toxins, harmful chemicals, and bad consumer products, Environmental Working Group, reports that zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, they're actually the best types of sunscreen to use, but only when applied topically to the skin. So you shouldn't spray them, but you can apply them to the skin. The reason that they're good is because they actually act as tiny little reflectors. You remember, you know, when I was a kid, the cool thing on the beach was the lifeguards would have that nose stripe, you know, that zinc oxide white nose stripe. And that was because they sat for hour upon hour gazing at the bikini clad girls on the beach. That was their job. I mean, occasional rescue, but mostly it was just to kind of, you know, walk around, flex their muscles, and show off their white stripe on their nose. But that turns out to be the best way to protect yourself from the sun, because it's reflective. It reflects away the sun's rays. And, yeah, it's not too sightly to have white gunk on your skin, but it is the least toxic way to go. And some of the new formulas are more transparent, translucent, so you don't look that chalky white. Titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, you might ask, well, putting on your skin, that's not good. Well, according to studies, it's not absorbed. The particles are too large to actually go through the skin, but they should not be sprayed. That is a concern. Also, we're looking for a sunscreen. Don't use something that contains oxybenzone. That is a harmful, reproductively active hormone. It's a hormone disruptor, and you certainly don't want to put it on kids or, you know, if mom is expecting. Or anyone concerned about the risk of hormonally induced cancer, you really don't want to slather that stuff on your skin, because that will penetrate your skin, get into your system. Also, retinol palmitate, it's an anti-aging skin ingredient, which seems to be activated by the sun and may have amplifying effect on the harmful UV radiation. So also, don't use SPF 50 and above, because that'll give you a false sense of security. You'll spend more time in the sun thinking you're protected, and you won't burn as much, but you may get harmful UVA rays, which are the cancer-causing rays, even without a burn. You can get the cancer-causing effects without an obvious burn, so a false sense of security with these super SPF formulas. And the best way to, you know, limit your sun exposure, get some sun exposure, because, hey, vitamin D is important. One of the best ways to get vitamin D, other than taking 25-hydroxy vitamin D3, is to get some sun exposure. A couple of new studies. Vitamin D deficiency linked to higher risk of cardiovascular and cancer death. The lower your vitamin D, the higher risk of death. It's increased by about twice, nearly double the risk of overall death in people with the lowest levels of vitamin D. And here's another one. Sunshine vitamin D boosts survival chances in bowel cancer. And here, they're actually not talking about oral exposure. I mean, oral consumption. They were talking about sun exposure. They tested levels of vitamin D in patients after surgery for colon cancer. They found that those who had the highest levels of vitamin D were more likely to be still alive after 5 years compared with those who had the lowest levels. So, you know, vitamin D, very important, you know, sun exposure. Don't avoid it. Don't shun the sun. And be careful. Go to EWG.org. Environmental Working Group has a good discussion of what sunscreens to use and what sunscreens not to use, because it's a huge multi-billion dollar industry. And a lot of the stuff is harmful and toxic and doesn't offer optimal sun protection. This is Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a call from Terry in Queens, New York. How you doing, Terry?
Hi, Doc. I'm calling about my daughter. For several years, she had some edema.
How old is she? How old is your daughter?
31.
31, okay.
She had some edema in her leg. And about 5 years ago, it was really bad from the ankle up to the knee. It was a little pain. So she had quite a few tests, the vascular testing, and everything came back normal. It's subsided quite a bit, but it's the ankle is still swollen. And the little research I did about it said something about thirst, and she has a tremendous thirst. She's drinking water all the time.
Yeah.
And they said something about, I don't know if it's capillaries leaking or something, and that's why you need to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, you know, there's a variety of, this is in medicine, this is called a differential diagnosis. In other words, okay, you've got thirst and you've got a swelling of the leg. So in a young individual like this, a little less likely that this is heart, but you got to check the heart, make sure that's not due to heart failure. It can be due to kidney problems, and actually something called nephrotic syndrome can cause both thirst and swelling, but that's easily detectable with a simple blood test. Routine blood tests will pick up low albumin or protein in urine will show up, or an elevated BUN creatinine showing kidney failure. And that probably hasn't shown up in tests with your daughter. So what we're left with is some kind of either a circulatory problem that isn't picked up with the usual vascular tests. I mean, you can get Doppler tests to see if your veins are working. But often the tests look normal, but you still have swelling. It's called pedal edema. It occurs, you know, often in women. Hormones can make that worse. Also, history of childbirth, overweight, lack of physical activity. This will make the legs more prone to swelling. There are various dietary approaches to this. Generally, a lower carb diet is beneficial. You know, once you've cleared out the medical possibilities, avoiding food allergens sometimes cause people to diarrhea. Natural things like horse chestnut has a good effect. Uva ursi sometimes has a good effect in terms of its diuretic properties. But we need a diagnosis here, and I think maybe, you know, seeing a vascular surgeon or someone who specializes in leg swelling could help us along the way. All right, we got another hour to go. We got lots more time for questions. 888-302-3684, and we'll tackle some important subjects in hour two. Is booze really good for your heart? We'll answer that question in hour two of Intelligent Medicine.